But I remember when I was feeling like God was calling me to quit a good job and sell my house and give my dogs away and take my wife and my children across the ocean where we couldn't say hello to the people for the sake of telling them about Jesus. So that's what I had in my heart of how God was leading us. And my wife, God bless her, she says, Randy, if at any point God makes it absolutely clear to you that you're supposed to tell me to submit to that, I'll follow you. But I don't have it in my heart.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Hello, you're listening to Speaking of Going. My name is Ben, or Ban, depending on where you are in the country, and I am a former reluctant missionary.
Hey, I would say that you're formerly reluctant, but you're currently a missionary, man. Anyway, this is Randy.
Semantics.
This is Randy, or Randall, depending on where you're from in the world. And I'm a former atheist and current missionary leader.
How's the deck build process going? I know you've been waiting to build a deck for months now.
Yes. So I had one detail left. I was in the process of digging the footers and hauling 2,000 pounds of concrete down the hill to pour. And I just had one little detail remaining, which was to get the Homeowners Association approval. And
also known as the CCP, China Communist Party.
It was not a simple matter. After they rejected my seventh application, I took up a drone and went around my my little area to find other decks. And
it just occurred to me you have a drone. Why do you have a drone?
But anyway, so I took up a drone to photograph the other decks in the area and measure the distance from the house to the deck and get all the characteristics of those decks so that I could make a proposition to the Homeowners Association that was less extreme than all the other ones, so that all my neighbors would have to tear down the deck if they said no. And so I got permission this last time, so that was good.
What a shakedown.
Yeah. It was, I guess there was some frustration that I had to submit to authority in that process. And then I have to say there was great satisfaction when the authorities saw things my way and gave me permission. It was worth the wait.
It was worth the wait. That's good to hear. Speaking of waiting, you sent me some verses this week from the first chapter of Acts that really kind of describe Jesus commanding people to wait.
Yeah, I was struck in Acts 1, 4, and 5. That's where we're sort of focusing in this week. It says that Jesus is hanging out with his disciples, and then he gives them an order. And so one of the things that hit me there was like, it's kind of an interesting relationship. It's being together, and clearly he's the boss. So I like that picture that Jesus is with them and ordering them. And the order he gives them is, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for a specific thing to happen. Yeah, in their case, he was ordering them to wait for the promise of the Father, which was, he said, John baptized with water, but not too many days from now, y'all are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So that was the specific promise he was giving them that they were supposed to wait for.
Like the promise of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what they're supposed to wait for. But I realized that in my case, there's been the commands of what I'm supposed to wait for and what are going to be fulfilled in my life. I've seen a lot of cases where it's just not, it's not that easy to know whether I'm supposed to press on or whether I'm supposed to wait. Like, you, let's go back to the HOA thing, right? So in some sense, I could have just, after I was rejected the seventh time, I guess the Holy Spirit could have said, Randy, just wait, and they're going to come to your house and say, we changed our mind, go ahead and build the deck. And then if I went out and bought my drone and took my pictures and all that, I suppose that would be sin. I don't think the Holy Spirit said that I was supposed to wait and they would just come to me, but there is a sense in which I'm probably an action-oriented dude. I like to make decisions and move forward.
That's really interesting. Like, what, I mean, I'm just thinking of this. You're talking about he ordered them, and I'm wondering what the results of their, like, actions would have been had he not ordered them. Like there's a sense of, if you tell someone, oh, be patient, you know, be patient, you know, but this is a like, no, don't do this, don't leave here kind of thing.
It is interesting. It's pretty specific, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's giving them an order not only to wait, but to avoid a specific activity.
Yeah.
Do not leave Jerusalem. But wait.
It's a huge test, I think, to them. I mean, it's hard to fathom how big of a test it was, because I'm not one of the first apostles. But it seems like a big test.
I guess he also gave them this in community, didn't he? So that they didn't have
that's
to.
True.
They didn't have to trust a subtle individual message that one of them got in private and then brought to the rest of them and said, okay, fellas, here's the deal. God has spoken to me, and now you have to listen to me. God said, we must wait. We must not depart Jerusalem, but we must wait. And so all y'all need to know that God speaks to me for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's important from, like, the perspective you're talking about with, you know, do we trust this person coming to us with all this new revelation? So that's one aspect. And then there's just the internal battle that I would have with myself, debating, obviously we've talked about Holy Spirit and sandwich in previous podcasts, but the aspect of community, having someone else hearing the same command, struggling with the same, you know, waiting, the suffering and the waiting, when's it going to happen? And we're talking about probably people who've already waited, you know, historically a long time for God's promises. And so I don't know.
That is a flip side, isn't it? The affirmation that we're all hearing the same thing. We're all hearing that God has not given clarity yet, and that we need to wait until he gives clarity that it's time to move forward.
It'd be hard for someone in the group, in the club, in the apostle club there to disagree.
I never thought about it before, but I wonder, it doesn't say, but I wonder if there were things that happened between when Jesus was taken up and when the Holy Spirit came, where they asked themselves, was that the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
It rained. Did it rain? I don't know. Probably not. I think we'll know it.
But at least they had to discern in community. So
they had to. Yeah, that's true. And they had community. Yeah.
As I think back to, I guess this has been 2003. So I can't believe it's been 17 years since this happened. But I remember when I was feeling like God was calling me to quit a good job and sell my house and give my dogs away and take my wife and my children across the ocean where we couldn't say hello to the people for the sake of telling them about Jesus. So that's what I had in my heart of how God was leading us. And my wife, God bless her, she says, Randy, if at any point God makes it absolutely clear to you that you're supposed to tell me to submit to that, I'll follow you. But I don't have it in my heart. And I just remember sitting down with my Bible morning after morning after morning and saying something to God like, I'd like to think that I have the courage to hear from you one-on-one and to know what you're saying and then just tell my wife, this is what God says, thus saith the Lord. But somehow or another, I'm not sure that I have the courage to do that. And I also don't sense that that's what you're telling me. What I sense is you're telling me to wait. To wait because somehow you're going to break in some days, in some number of days down the road, you're going to break this logjam in a way that that I don't really know. But somehow, some way, you're going to show my wife what it is that you have for us. And that through that process, then this will be you speaking to us in communities so that we both have the same, so that we both have the same plan. That was, and eventually he did that. So for me, that's maybe the biggest, biggest one that comes to mind of sort of needing to receive a command from God to wait without an assurance of exactly what the movement of the Holy Spirit was going to look like or how the logjam was going to be broken.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of like changing my mind about what waiting is. So when you were talking, I was thinking about our reassignment to a new field, the waiting process that kind of unfolded. But my feelings most of the time, like during the waiting, the uncertainty and probably some frustration, was that this waiting period is not of God. Like it must be that something's wrong for a decision not to be made yet and for a conclusion not to be reached, that this can't be of God. That I must be doing something wrong. My wife must be doing something wrong. Together, we must not be passionately pursuing God enough. There's got to be something wrong because this doesn't feel right. And so if this doesn't feel right, you know, it can't be right, right? I think my wife helped me be okay with a period of waiting. I think she's a much more patient person than me, but when we were discerning and trying to listen to God, we had this triangle. It was either go back and endure in our old country, which to us and to Ashley, for sure, memories of, you know, intense suffering, and that's going to be difficult. But that was one thing we were really looking at, is this the Holy Spirit telling us to go back, like to endure? And then should we go to a new place and explore and have a new adventure? Is the Holy Spirit asking us to start over and do it again? And then the other corner of our triangle that we place ourselves on was, is the Holy Spirit leading me to come back to America and my home country? And it was really confusing because they all felt right. I would draw this triangle every single day for a couple of months and put each member of our family on a little dot. And I was always in the center. And when I asked other people in our family, they were actually in one direction or the other a bit more. But for me, I didn't like being in the middle, not knowing. I didn't like waiting.
So the change from waiting to conviction, what were three things that caused you to know it was no longer time to wait?
So I became okay with waiting, believe it or not. Like because the process of waiting involved talking with other people and exploring. And what I found was, as I'm talking with other people and telling them like my struggle with waiting, my indecision, my confusion, what's God doing in my life? I'm supposed to have it all together. You know, I was called to be a missionary, but I'm confused. But actually telling people that was like the image I have now of waiting. So if I have to paint a picture of waiting for someone now, it's a little bit vulnerable, maybe some suffering, but super deeply connected with other people and able. I think it really helped me listen to other people a lot more, because the whole thing is just listening. It's like, well, I don't know. I'm just going to soak this up. So yeah, that's the one thing, since you asked for three.
Well, I'm going to turn it into three because I can't help it. So I'm going to say, number one, you weren't done waiting until you were okay with waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't done waiting until you had a waiting community.
For sure.
And number three, you weren't done waiting until you had peace with the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
That's my three answers for you from yours, because one's not good enough for me.
I like that. It was hard to be okay in front of others with waiting, especially like the elders here at our church. Like at first I debated coming into a conversation with them and telling them that I don't know what the heck is going to happen. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what we're supposed to do. Like it oozes in my mind, at least my perception. It oozes with this guy. This guy doesn't have it together. this is you know, bad. And but their response of just like grace and wisdom and being like, hey, take your time. I remember them saying over and over, just take your time. It's like they've had many years of probably multiple processes, you know, of waiting and listening. I like your 3 points. That's that really helps with some clarity, for sure.
I'm trying to think back to mine, whether it matches. So for me, daily, I'm a decision maker, action oriented guy, and I don't mind making wrong decisions as long as I can make a decision. But when I'm stuck in a position, unable to make a decision, that's the most uncomfortable. And so every morning as I was talking with God, I was saying, okay, God, you know that I've just want to make a decision. I think by the time it was resolved, I was okay with waiting. It's 17 years ago, so I'm not sure, but I think that matches, that I no longer felt like I had to try to press my wife into coming to confidence. I think I came to the place where it was okay. We can go or we can not go. If God really does have this for Robin, then God is going to move in Robin's heart and it's going to be clear to her. And I became okay with the waiting and the uncertainty. So part of that's developing community with Robin, part of that's developing community with others, but there's sort of a coming to terms with the community need. And yeah. And then once there was some really remarkable things that happened that showed me that God, it wasn't just in Robin's heart and mind, but there was earthly circumstances that came together. It was like, man, that is God solving this problem. And I have peace with this resolution. And now we're off and running. So I would say, I would say those three match what happened with us. It is interesting though, because as I was just the other day reviewing 41 new inquiries at SIM USA. And as I go down the list and think of where those various people are at, I'm not sure, like the idea of an active waiting, a prayerful waiting, trying to figure out what am I actually waiting for, waiting in community, becoming okay with waiting. I'm just not sure whether I've done a good job of helping others lean into a more proactive waiting stance.
Maybe like a more hopeful waiting.
I mean, hopeful would mean hoping for a resolution. I think or to me it would. So what I'm mm-hmm. thinking is, I don't know that we always know what the resolution is going to look like. The disciples may or may not have known in this story what it looked like to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I suspect they didn't, but maybe they did. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I know in the hardest waiting for me, I don't know what the resolution is going to be most of the time. And so the hopeful waiting is not hoping for some particular resolution. Mm-hmm. Grandma might die, she might not die. I don't know. I'm waiting.
That's a good point.
But hoping in God. Mm-hmm. But almost like what you said was being okay with waiting also means being okay with the outcome, like you don't know. Right after these verses, the very next thing the disciples say is, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And then Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has established by his own authority. So, I mean, there's a sense in which they're trying to figure out, okay, is this the hopeful waiting that we're doing? Mm-hmm. And then he's kind of like, you're just waiting. I mean, there's more.
Yeah. What would you tell people who are in a process of waiting or uncertainty? Or maybe they're not on the same page with the community or their spouse or something. Maybe they're struggling with relinquishing control.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good example. One of the people on the list of 41 is a 47-year-old female married to a non-Christian that feels called to mission. And her husband does not believe in Jesus. So what would I say to her? Is she okay with waiting? Can she become okay with this tension that she feels called to make a difference and the difference that she imagines she can make is not available to her? Mm-hmm. Can she develop a community, a prayer group? Can she be strengthened in this through a community? I would think it would help her.
Yeah.
And if the final resolution is that she's to spend 3:30 to 5:30 a.m. every day praying for missionaries, that the resolution is that she's going to sacrifice sleep in order to do this. If that's the resolution, that she can't actually go and do what she wants to go and do, but the burden to go and do is going to motivate her to make a difference in another way. Mm-hmm. Maybe she can come to peace with whatever resolution God has through the waiting and community. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a rather arbitrary answer. In your case, in my case, in the cases of many others that I can think of, God is willing to show us what we're waiting for in a few days. And I would just encourage people to think through if God might be calling them to do something different, whether it's missions or pastoral work or being an engineer or going back to college, whatever it is, that first of all, they would try to be clear about what is it that makes them think that they're in a waiting pattern. What makes them think that they're waiting for God? It'd be good to be clear. And what are they waiting for? And then to go through the process of making community. That's my thought.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that He has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where He is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.